When liberals hit the mental brick wall. That wall is Andrew Wilkow.
All right, phone lines. 1-866-95 Patriot 957-2874. Tonight on TV, we're going to be getting into all the signals that Obama is sending as, gee, I wonder why all these things are happening around the world, like in Iraq. The world is responding to what this administration has sent out as its signal beacons. We don't respect the rule of law in our country anymore, and we aren't going to maintain a military. There. Run with it. Now, Michigan passed a right-to-work law, and now, and I saw this in the Washington Examiner last night, it says, headline, Michigan Teachers Union attacks credit rating of members seeking to leave. And the story starts with a story of a teacher named Kimberly Bird, who thought that she was, you know, no longer a member of the Michigan Education Association after all the state had adopted a right-to-work law in late 2012, meaning workers couldn't be forced to join a union even if their workplace was organized. Since she hadn't re-upped her MEA membership after that, she assumed she was out. So it was a real shock to her when she received a letter in May from a debt collection agency that said she owed $394 in delinquent dues to the MEA. The unions are going to do their best to intimidate people to stay in the unions. Now, there's a new website called augustoptout.org, and it's from the Mackinac Center in Michigan. Joining me on the program right now is Vincent Vernuccio, the Director of Labor Policy at the Mackinac Center for Public Policy Research. How you doing?
Hey, Andrew, pretty good. How are you doing? Thanks for having me on.
No problem. We're seeing wherever right-to-work laws are passed that people are choosing to leave their union.
That's right. Well, they're doing both. They're choosing to leave their union, and they're also choosing, and now they finally have the choice in the right-to-work states, to choose to stay in. Because right-to-work, unlike its opponents like to maintain, it doesn't do anything towards unionization. It simply gives employees the choice of whether or not they feel the union is doing a good job and want to continue paying that union, or whether they feel that the union is not doing enough to earn their hard-earned money and choosing not to pay that union.
Here's what I find amazing about unionization. This is what I say about even most government programs. If it's so wonderful, make it voluntary.
Exactly, and you're seeing in some of the right-to-work states where the unions are actually realizing, hey, we can't take our members for granted. We actually have to prove our worth to them and earn their dues, that those unions are actually getting better. Now, unfortunately, out here in Michigan, we have our largest teachers union, the Michigan the MEA out here, Michigan Education Association. Instead of being proactive and simply trying to prove their worth to the members, they're taking their members that have chosen to not go through the arduous hoops that they have, that the union has created to let those members out. If those members choose not to jump through those hoops, the MEA is now reporting them to collection agencies and potentially ruining their credit scores.
Now, the website is augustoptout.org. What hoops does somebody have to go through to leave the union? I get it if they signed, if they were part of a contract that was signed before the law was passed, that the contracts would be grandfathered in. The next time union contracts come up, they can opt out. But what are some of the tactics? Why? What is the loophole to get out if that's not the case?
Well, that's right. The law says that right to work applies to any law that's extended, renewed, or went into effect after March 28, 2013, when right to work took effect in Michigan. Now, what the MEA is saying, and we think this is not correct, and we're not saying that this is legal, but we are advising the teachers and the other school support personnel in the MEA to go by these bylaws until we work it out in court. The MEA is saying that no, even if you are under one of those contracts that's right to work, the only time you have to opt out is this narrow window only in August. So that's where we got the name augustoptout.org, name of the website, because we are doing an education campaign to make sure that every MEA member knows that if they choose to opt out of the MEA, that they have to do so according to the MEA bylaws in August.
But why? If union membership is no longer compulsory, how does the union continue to govern people that don't want to be members?
Okay, well, let's step back here and, you know, this isn't my logic. This is the logic according to what the union is saying. Obviously, we think it's wrong, but according to the union, what they say is that, you know, 20, 25 years ago, some of these teachers signed what's known as a dues checkoff agreement. So the dues checkoff agreement said that the government could essentially be the bills collector for union dues, and instead of the union having to get the money directly from the member, that the government or the school district would just take it right out of the paycheck and pay the union. Now, in Michigan, we made that practice illegal several years ago, so that went by the wayside. But what the union is maintaining is that what they signed is a continual membership agreement. So just imagine if you sign your cell phone bill, you know, before there were even cell phones, let's say, or cell phones were mass consumed, and most people had them in, like, say, 1980s or early 1990s, you signed one of these contracts, every year it would automatically renew, and there is no way you could get out of it unless you did so during a narrow time frame. And that's what the MEA is saying. They're saying that because they signed these agreements for dues checkoff, that's actually now illegal in Michigan, that their contract with the MEA, which is separate from the school contract, automatically renews every year, and the only time you can get out is during the month of August. And guess what? If you don't, they're going to sic a collection agency after you.
Okay, but still, I'm not getting it. If their compulsory powers have been taken away, how are they enforcing this?
They're enforcing it through collection agencies. And obviously, this is going to go through the courts, and we are helping several MEA members now, saying that they tried to opt out, but the MEA is saying they didn't do it within the narrow time frame, and we're saying that they're in the right. The MEA is saying they're in the wrong, and it's going to be up to the courts to decide of if they can actually enforce it and if they can actually send these people to collections and harm their own former members' credit scores.
I'm again. How are the credit agencies having any authority here if they're trying to collect a due that doesn't have to be paid?
Well, the MEA is saying it has to be paid. We don't think it has to be paid. The law states that it doesn't have to be paid.
But didn't the state strip their collection powers?
They did, and the MEA went to strong arm some of its members. We heard horror stories of them going into classrooms and demanding bank account information, credit card information, within the classroom, intimidating many of their members into providing this information. And those that withstood and did not, the ones that felt that now that right to work passed, they didn't have to pay anymore, or they sent a letter in July or September and stopped paying. Now the MEA is saying, well, because you haven't paid and you didn't give us your credit card or bank account information, that you still owe us the money, and since you haven't paid, we're going to go after you via collections.
I'm just not getting that. There's just because they say something is owed, doesn't the credit agency it seems invalid. That would be like if I just said, you owe me money, credit agency, go get them. Go get Vincent. He owes me money.
Well, you know, if I signed something with you 20 years ago, and the terms completely changed, the situation completely changed, and you said over those 20 years there was only a really narrow point for me to get out of what I signed you, which was considered, you know, normal paperwork that you sign when you, HR paperwork that you sign when you get a first job. And then even if the laws change, yeah, you go down that road, and essentially we're where you are. It's he said, she said. And unfortunately, the credit agencies are listening to the union, and they're going after these people, after these members at the union's behest. And I tell you, I've spoken to some of these people. I mean, they're the salt of the earth. You know, speaking to a kindergarten teacher the other day, and she said that she wasn't eating, she wasn't sleeping because the union was putting so much pressure on her, and she was afraid for her credit rating and, you know, what it would affect in other parts of her life. And it's just the intimidation by this union to try to get dues from people that don't want to pay the union anymore because they don't feel like they're getting the good representation, and feel that the law gives them the right, and we think the law does give them the right, not to pay the union anymore.
Do any of these people have legal recourse against the credit agencies and themselves? Like, hey, you are trying to you are ruining my reputation over something that I don't owe. Is there any legal recourse for teachers against the credit agencies?
Well, right now the Mackinac Center is representing several MEA members in lawsuits against the MEA, the union itself. We have not brought the credit agencies into it, but I know that's something that our attorneys could look into.
Because I would say if a credit agency called me up and said, you know, you owe this money, and I, you know, clearly you could prove that you don't because the law has been passed and you have opted out, the credit agency now is just acting in a harassing fashion.
Well, they're acting at the behest of the union to harass these members. That's correct.
So let's talk about AugustOptOut.org. How many people do you think are going to actually opt out? I mean, the unions might see them. I mean, this is not good PR for them. You know what, you don't like us? We'll sue. That usually is not how you make friends. So the unions, if enough people go to the AugustOptOut.org website and start to, you know, okay, here's the window, here's what I got to do, they might find themselves absent of a lot of dues-paying members.
That's correct, and I'm going to give you a couple quotes. First, the president of the MEA just last year said that, oh, only 1% of his members opted out. Now, you know, he really didn't get into the fact that not a lot of them knew about the August window because they weren't going around advertising in, you know, big, shiny letters, the fact that they'd only let them out in August. Also, the fact that several of those contracts hadn't expired or been extended as of August last year after that March 28th start date of last year. But just recently, he said this year he looks like it could be 1,500 members or worse. And that's a direct quote from Stephen Cook, the president of the NBA. And then the Mackinac Center, we also found while we were interviewing in an administrative hearing one of the NBA officers that they have 7,000 members that have not paid them yet. So we are probably looking at big numbers this summer when MEA members finally realize that they do not have to pay the MEA to keep their jobs, unlike they did before Right to Work. And now they know the process in August. And I tell you, if I was in the NBA's shoes, instead of suing people, instead of sending them to collections, I would be proving my worth, changing my tune, and showing why, hey, this is why you want to be a part of a good organization, not an organization that's going to intimidate you.
All right, less than a minute to go. Here's the thing. Once some people start to leave and their coworkers see that the world doesn't come to an end, you might see a mass exodus at that point.
You might, and we're already seeing we have a pound August opt out, the hashtag. We're having teachers send us, teachers and other school support personnel in the NBA, sending us pictures with them saying, I want out, or I got out of the NBA. Pound August opt out, putting it on Twitter, and joining the force that is feeding the exit.
All right, Vince, I got to go. Hannity's coming up next. Vincent Vernuccio's with the Director of Labor Policy at the Mackinac Center for Public Policy Research. AugustOptOut.org. We're right. They're wrong. That's the end of the story. The arguments on